As you know, last week, Pastor Ken kicked off our new series, called Created for Purpose, and with his message, which was entitled Created for Significance. And Pastor Ken actually spoke about how each of us were created perfectly for our purpose. And he touched on different people in the Bible that realized their purpose for God's kingdom here on earth. Our purpose in life, friends, is the very meaning of our existence. And without knowing our purpose, many of us often find ourselves lost within the world. We fall prey to the lies that our lives don't really matter for much, that we start to believe we have no connection or impact on the world around us. The Bible offers us understanding, actually, of man's purpose here on earth and how we are to thrive within a meaningful ministry and mission that God has given us. Last week, Pastor Ken talked about how David took hold of his purpose, using whatever gifts he had in his hands for the glory of God's kingdom. Not only did David defeat Goliath with just a handful of stones, he would one day become king of Israel and unifying the tribes of Israel after defeating all of their enemies. And what I want us to realize today is just how much of a blessing it is when we, as God's people, find our purpose in God's kingdom. I truly believe these blessings are not just for us as individuals, but they can become generational blessings for our children and for their children. The Bible shows us that when God called Solomon to be king in a dream, God asked Solomon, who was actually the son of David, that generational blessing, "What shall I give you?" And basically, God handed Solomon a blank check. He said, "Just fill in the amount, whatever you need." And Solomon knew God had a calling in his life for him to be king in place of his father, David. And God was offering him whatever he wanted. However, Solomon knew that God wasn't some fairy godmother or a genie in a lamp you just rub. He knew to be careful and not to ask for material earthly things. What he asked for was wisdom and knowledge, so that he could actually lead his people well. And this pleased God. So in addition to making Solomon a wise leader of the people, God also gave him the things he could have asked for, but he didn't. God gave him the riches, gave him peace from all of his enemies, and actually gave him a long and prosperous life. Similarly, when God calls us, he isn't calling each of us to material things of this world. Now, God knows that we are going to need the material things of this world to be able to fulfill our calling, and he promises that he's going to equip us with whatever we need. But that's not what we are called to. God has called us to build his kingdom and to help his people until the day he comes back for us. And I believe God has given all of us a purpose. And he's given us the tools and the talents that we need to accomplish our purpose here on this earth. Amen. God has given us each a set of unique talents and abilities, and they are to make us different from one another. He doesn't give us all the same talents and abilities, or else we wouldn't be able to tell each other apart. God keeps us in different ways. He makes us in different ways, everyone individually to their unique purpose. Oftentimes, we think that our talents, in terms of how they serve us, for example, they can help us do well in school. You know, they can help us to have a successful, prosperous career. They help us to raise a family. Although these things are important in our lives, we must realize that our talents are not just to benefit ourselves. They are to be used as part of the body of Christ. If we are not using our talents for God's kingdom, I've said this many times, then we need to change our earthly perspective into a more spiritual perspective. Because God has gave us our talents to honor him. Amen? Amen? Amen. As Christians, we each play an integral role in the body of Christ. Together, we can fulfill our purpose here on earth, which is to serve God and tell the whole world about his goodness. And friends, if we deny the talents that we have been given, it will be hard to fully realize our potential impact on the growth of his kingdom. God calls us and blesses us with these talents and gifts that we can invest them into his people and into his kingdom. He is not only glorified by our talents, but others are helped when we use our talents and when we use our time wisely to make an impact on the world around us. There is actually a parable in the Bible that talks about not wasting our talents, but using them wisely. And it comes actually with a very serious warning. I'm sure many of you know this verse already. Now, these talents that they're talking about in the Bible are actually a currency at the time. But I believe the meaning applies not only to our finances, but also to our natural God-given talents. And we find the story in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, when Jesus is talking about how we need to be prepared for when the master returns. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away. Now you see, God does not give us our talents, more talents than we know what to do with. God is not going to give you more than you can use. But he's also not going to give you less than you can use. Sometimes he always gives you exactly what you need in your life. Now it's up to us to actually use those. And it says in scripture as we continue, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and they traded them and they made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, as the second person came, he had 2 talents. He came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I made 2 more talents for you. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, the servant who had received just 1 talent, he came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you had to at least have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, the master this parable is clearly meant to represent is Jesus Christ. And the servants are us, his followers. Similarly to the parable, Jesus has also given responsibilities to each of us as his followers. And similar to the parable, Jesus, our master, has promised to one day return. He's coming back. And this parable is a lesson about the importance of wisely using God's given talents and resources and not squandering them out of fear or complacency or even laziness. We are not called to just give up our talents because we don't think they're working or we don't think that they're good enough or this guy's talent is better than mine. He sings way better than me. He plays way better than me. Our talents are given to us so that we can glorify God and his kingdom. To emphasize the idea that those who are faithful, Scripture is saying that those who are faithful and responsible in using what they've been given, we will be rewarded. It's in Scripture. We're promised that. But it also says that those who are negligent or fearful are going to face the consequences. There's no way around that. Jesus has made Christians not only his heirs to his kingdom, but also we are active participants in his ministry. We're not called to just listen and sit quietly. He has given us his knowledge and his ability to work on his behalf. God is preparing us for his good works. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus has entrusted us with his greatest treasure, making us caretakers of his ministry and ambassadors to the mission that he started here on earth. And he calls us to continue that mission. And on top of our natural talents to help us through these missions, he's going to give us spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us on our missions. A lot of you took part in the revival we had here a few weeks ago. Some of you, that was your first time introduced to the Spirit's, the gifts of the Spirit. But just as the gift of salvation is by grace through faith, so are the spiritual gifts. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, now there are a variety of gifts, but it is all from the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but it is the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Every single believer has at least one spiritual gift. Amen? At least one. Some have two, some have three, some have a lot more than that. And every believer should be using his or her gifts to serve others, as the Apostle Peter puts it in 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. No believer that I know of, that could be wrong, but I don't think everybody has every single gift. Because then if one person had every gift, you probably wouldn't need a whole lot of people around him. So this is why I think we need each other in order for the whole body of Christ to be able to work together. It is God that decides who receives what gift for the purpose of their ministry and to serve God's kingdom. He will choose the gift you need. But you can pray for it. You can ask for it. And this reminds me of a story of Timothy, who is Paul's protege. His call to purpose came through the imparting of spiritual gifts by the laying on of hands, which is something that we are going to do at the end of the service today. We're going to call up those that were baptized, and the elders of the church, the pastors, are going to lay hands on them, pray over them, and impart the Spirit over them. And we read of Timothy's call and purpose in Paul's first letter to him in 1 Timothy 4:14 to 15. He said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all." God has given us each a gift for a reason, so that when people see us and they know you from your past and they see you today, they're like, wow, what a difference this person was, right? Because something's changing inside of them. They're not the same that they used to be. And that's because God has now entered into you with his Spirit to help you become something new, something newly created by him. And he says for us to meditate on these things and to give ourselves entirely to them, not partially, not just on Sundays when we come to worship, but every single day of our lives, we are to give ourselves entirely to God's mission and his gifts to us. Amen. Amen. That your progress may be evident to all. It was on Paul's second missionary journey, actually, where him and Silas found Timothy. And it was revealed to them the future significance of this young man. So Paul and Silas gathered the elders of the church, and they laid hands on Timothy and prophesied over him. The Holy Spirit fell upon him, and a spiritual gift was imparted to this young man. He became a bold proclaimer of the gospel and the passion of Christ, the amazing passion that he had and the boldness. And this is something that means a lot to me because I know where I came from. I know who I was. I had no boldness. I had no discernment. You know, I was a lost soul who thought I knew God, who thought I knew and I had a relationship with him, but I didn't until I really dug deep into the Gospels, into Scripture, and until I prayed from the moment I walked in to this church 20-something years ago, I prayed from day one that I wanted discernment, that I wanted boldness, so that I could proclaim the Gospel. Just as Timothy received spiritual gifts, I'm telling you, church, we are all offered the same blessings and our own spiritual gifts. That is a promise. And Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that manner. We are not created equal. We are created in the image of God, but we are all created different for the very purpose of your mission here on this earth. There are different types of spiritual gifts, lots of them. And some that I find dear to my heart is the ministerial gifts. They are the way God prepares us, teaches us to serve others and to meet their needs. It is how we minister or how we administer the love, the grace, and the truth of God to those that are lost, that are broken. Through the teachings of Scripture, by pastors, by teachers, as we see in Ephesians 4:11 to 12. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We are not here as pastors or teachers or speakers just to make the Bible sound good. Right? That's not what we're here for. We are called to proclaim the good news, but we are called to help people, to teach them, to equip them, and to send them out, to give opportunities like we have on Thursday nights, on Saturdays, to go out and literally be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a broken world. That is what we're called to do. Now, not everybody can do that. Not everybody has that gift to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel or to make sandwiches or whatever. But everybody has the gift of prayer. And that's one thing that we all need is always prayer. Whatever we're doing, if you're out on a Thursday night preaching, if we're out giving sandwiches, it is a spiritual battle. I've said it so many times. We need that prayer warriors to really kick in. Because we really need that, and we feel it, and we notice a difference. And as Christians, our ministerial gifts really represent what God does with us and through us, and how we serve and meet the needs of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:28 teaches us there is a purpose for God's gifts. They're not just given out like a deck of cards, he starts handing them out. There's a purpose. God has appointed in the church, as I said, apostles, then prophets, there's an order, and teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. These are all gifts that are a manifestation of God's supernatural power that is all for us, given to us, offered to us. In order to help grow and advance his kingdom and to glorify his name. The Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good, not for my good, not for his good, for the common good of the church. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kind of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And I tell you, as I said, my biggest prayer was discernment. To be able to tell the spirit of the earth and the world to the spirit of heaven. Because there are two spirits. There is the demonic spirits that run the world. We see it every day. And there is the spiritual spirit of God that will guide us through this mess. And that is a promise. Amen. All these same gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions or gives to each one individually as he wills for his purpose, for his need in the kingdom. You are going to get your gift or gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is given an explanation of some of the spiritual gifts and how they fit together in the body of Christ. He wants not only the church in Corinth to understand, but he wants us to understand that no one single gift is actually more important than the other. Whether you prophesy or speak in tongues, whatever it is, one is not above the other. In fact, he moves on in chapter 13 to show us that it is actually love that actually trumps over every single gift that we could possibly receive. And that is the one thing that is most lacking in our society today is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clangy cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries, and if I have all the knowledge and I have all the faith to where I can move mountains, remove them, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned and sacrificed, but have not love, I gain nothing." I tell you, friends, love is the very core of God's character and the key to our Christian life. Because without love, we have nothing. And it is out of God's love for us that while we were still sinners, while we were still broken and lost, that Jesus would die for us, that he would hang on that cross for you and for me. And the law of Jesus Christ is to love God and to love our neighbors, to love others. There is none above it. And his love encompasses all that God is doing through us and everything that we should be doing the same through this. Says, love encompasses all that God does, and so it should be the same in all that we do as his church. We need to mirror God in everything he does through his love, through his sacrifice. The purpose of our spiritual gifts are to spread the love of Jesus Christ, to be that light into that world that is dark and lost, to glorify and to honor our Father. By building up, by encouraging and helping the church, which is the body of Christ, and to serve others through love. Amen. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by the very joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are literally held together as a congregation, as his church, by his love. Because if it was our own love, It's hard sometimes. It's hard for us to love each other. It's so easy for us to judge each other. But it is through his love that we are held together. I tell you, friends, spiritual gifts are not the end. They're not the goal of our lives as Christians. Don't be mistaken. But spiritual gifts are the means by which the Holy Spirit enters into us and enables and empowers us to help one another grow in unity and into that image of Jesus Christ. It is only through the Holy Spirit. It is not our final goal to get a spiritual gift. It is just a tool to be used for his kingdom. And if we truly love God, then we desire to continue to serve Christ until the day he comes for us. Amen. Amen. We want to be just like I want to be. Truly, I want to be just like those two servants with the talents who, when God came, he's going to say, good and faithful servant, enter into your blessings. What happens when we never use our spiritual gifts or our talents? What happens? Then we don't glorify and we don't honor God. And the whole body of Christ, not just the portion, the whole body of Christ, the church suffers. I tell you, people you could have ministered to, people that you could have helped, people you could have encouraged, are not benefiting from your spiritual gifts and your talents, and they're not being blessed by them if you're not using what God has called you to do or what he's given you. Scripture actually teaches us if they are not told, then how can they be saved? If we're not going out there and literally preaching the gospel and showing love, how are those people ever going to know that there's something different and something else than what this world has to offer? Church, we are responsible for those we love, for the people around us. We are to warn them of what's coming. And then it's their choice to make. It's not up to us whether they believe or accept salvation. But it is up to us and it is our responsibility to tell them about it. You know, I tell you, I was so afraid to take hold of my spiritual gifts because I thought that I was too weak. I know my past. I know how broken I was. I know where I come from. And because of that, I thought I was never good enough. But God will actually take your weakness and he will turn it into his strength. Amen? Amen? Paul tells us that when he spoke of his own weakness and that he came to the Lord and he asked the Lord to remove it 3 times, he wrote it in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I tell you, church, that is why I can stand up here freely and tell you that I am a sinner, that I am broken, that I am no good. But God has changed my life. And therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? Yes. Amen, friends. I tell you, God is going to take what we most are afraid of. He's going to take what is our weakest points in our lives, and he will make them our strongest asset for his kingdom. That is a promise. That is in Scripture for us. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? God is not asking us to change the world alone. He's not telling you to go out like Billy Graham and speak to millions. If you can do it, God bless you. But he's not calling you to do that. He just wants you to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Yeah. He wants us to do our part and not to bury our talents in the ground like a lazy servant. God has called us to stand up and to stand out for his people, to use our talents for the better of his children and his kingdom and for our future. Our calling and our purpose and our ministry is something that all Christians have. Every single one of you have it in you. You just need to find it. Whatever God calls you to do, finding your purpose in God's kingdom will ultimately serve all of those around you. I mentioned this in the first service. I'm going to call out Dayon again. We were talking about how we like to worship loud. Sometimes it's better for us not to be up there, but back there. We don't want to distract people. But I tell you, when we're up there worshiping loud over there, you are infecting the people around you, right? You have a say in what the people around you are feeling. And that is what God is calling us to do, to make a difference, to show his love, not to the whole world, but to show his love in your job, to show his love in your school, to show his love in the streets when someone cuts you off and you want to give them something else, right? That is what God is calling us to do, to be different than others. Amen? And just like Timothy, we will come to know our purpose as we read scripture, as we meditate, and as we pray, and as the elders pray over us. And like Timothy, God has gifted us with the abilities that we need to live out our purpose. He has it in you. And just like Solomon, our purpose will be for God's people, not worldly things. Our true purpose will have significance that is far beyond this life. Imagine the generational blessings that we are unlocking for our children, for those children that are downstairs right now learning about Jesus, having that love fed into their hearts. Our prayers are for them and to unlock generational blessings for them. So let me encourage you today, friends, ask God to reveal his spiritual gifts and purpose for your life, because it's not the same as mine. And pray for your children. Pray for your gifts. Pray that their gifts are going to come out and that your children's purpose in God's kingdom will also be fulfilled. And when he does, use the talents God has blessed you with to follow him, to do what he calls you to do, to let that living water flow through your life. We are called to show others who God is in us. And Jesus has told us in Matthew 7:7, that if we ask, it's going to be given to you. And if you seek it, you're going to find it. And if you knock, he says he's going to open the door. He's not going to slam it in your face. He's going to open the door to you. And my hope for you today is that you don't miss out on your calling, but that you take hold of your purpose and that you use it for his kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you all, and God bless you. Thank you.
Wow, what an inspiring and powerful message. And Louis, I watched him over the last 20 years and saw that he lived that out, taking the steps by step as God developed within him. Said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. You know what Louis has done this morning through this word? He's opened the door to your full potential. Your full potential in the Lord. He's opened the door. There's no barrier. You could be all that God wants you to be. You just have to step through that door. Amen. And just before we do the laying on of hands, I want to just lead us all in a prayer. I want you to give yourself afresh and new to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. To give your talents and abilities to the Lord. And say, Lord, here I am. Use me. So if you will, just reach down into your heart and lifted up and your talents and abilities, then why don't you just do it? Lift your hand to the Lord, holding your heart. Say, Lord, here I yield myself to you. Father, we're here. And you know the different ones. Some have sat and they feel stuck. But you have set us free today. You've given us an open door to enter in all that you have for us. May we all step forward. May we all give ourselves fresh and anew to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. What is the potential in your life? God could just give us a glimpse of it. We'd be much more excited than we are, because there is a power and a potential in every one of us. Amen.